So now I'm going to give you Stuart Wolf. We wanted to show you what happens within one of the nodes in the social economy, and so we've chosen BC and Alberta as a model since Jean-Marc could not come.
I work as coordinator of the BC Alberta Social Economy Research Alliance, which is one of these nodes of the SHRC-funded Canadian Social Economy Research Partnerships. I'm going to try in my limited time here to actually touch on two topics, and my presentation is a bit of a detour from the mainstream of this session, which is that I will not be talking specifically about immigrant and refugee programs or the role of the social economy there, but trying to step back and look at a couple of broader questions related to the social economy and social economy research. The two things I want to talk about are first briefly a little bit about the model of university-community partnership and research that we've been developing at BALTA. And the second thing I want to talk about is the conceptual discussions or at times heated debates that have been occurring that cut right across all our research about these questions of how do we characterize the social economy? How do we define it? What are its attributes? What are its boundaries? How does it relate to the rest of the economy? Is it an adaptive way of looking at economics, or is it a transformative way of looking at economics? Are we simply looking at a sector within a fixed economy, or are we looking at an ethos that has something to offer to the way the public and private sectors also operate? So first of all, our model, it's a bit unusual. I think probably it's fair to say that the common model of community university partnership is one where it is initiated from the university or a group of university. It's often led at one particular university or a department. It reaches out in some way to do research in the community, and it involves members of the community in various respects as clients, presumed beneficiaries, there may be an advisory committee, and so on. It is not necessarily, though there are exceptions, about co-construction of research. What we wanted to do was to create a new platform for research that was truly balanced in how power and decision-making operated within the alliance, and that was truly co-constructive in the way we approached research. It's the only one of the nodes in CSERP which is actually led and managed from a community-based organization. It's also an organization that, while there are several universities and colleges involved, as well as a number of community organizations, the identity of BALT itself is not associated with a particular university or a particular organization. We've really tried to create an entity which is multilateral in terms of the involvement of groups in it, and which it communicates itself, it thinks about itself as a new platform and as a place where people come together in a kind of a marketplace of ideas rather than as a formalized kind of structure. It's a new platform. It's co-managed. We have a steering committee which has equal representation from the academic community and the communities. And it's also an entity where we're trying to engage in co-construction and co-implementation of research. What that looks like in practice is that we have a number of what we call CERC social economy research clusters. For example, one of them is focused on the role of the social economy in rural revitalization and development. That brings together within its membership a number of academics, a number of community-based researchers, and a number of representatives of practitioner organizations that are actively involved in that aspect of the social economy. They agree together on what the research priorities will be. They then individuals may bring forward particular research projects, but those are then discussed, debated, shaped, and finally approved collectively. And then increasingly what's been happening is that we're actually starting to see projects that are being brought forward and being actually co-led with an academic and a practitioner both working together as a team and actually leading the whole research process through from beginning to conclusion. So I think that's enough about our model, but within that model then, and the discussions that have gone on, we have ended up quite a complex, a surprisingly diverse, shall I say, discussion about what is it we are actually doing, what is this social economy that we're researching. And to be honest, there is no consensus. We have not come to a nice, neat, well, I shouldn't say we haven't come to a neat definition, rather we've come to a number of neat definitions. And I would rush into to in fact emphasize that it's not that we're seeing these as necessarily competing definitions. We, you know, they will fight it out and eventually one of them will be proved to be the right one. But in fact that we're recognizing that the social economy is so complex that it's useful to look at it through a number of lenses, and those lenses can even change what you think of as the boundaries of what is the social economy. There are three broad conceptual models, I guess, which are coming out of the discussions we've been having. They affect how we define it, how we what we see as the characteristics of it, and particularly issues of boundary. And all of each model has its advantages. It also has, as some would perceive it, disadvantages or limitations. And in fact, all of them have some similar, I think, what I would characterize as gaps. Like, I don't think any of them may effectively encapsulate everything that we eventually need to think about. Just as one example, where do we fit the informal secretary, the informal sector? It's not a public sector, it's not a private sector, it's not an organized entity of the social economy, it's not a nonprofit organization. You know, I'm talking about like the window washer on the street. I'm talking about what in many countries is in fact a very large part of the overall economic activity of the country, but it's unorganized. One of the assumptions almost around the way we look at all three of those main sectors is that they're all organized in some way. They are all legally organized in some way. They all have legal recognition. The informal sector is totally different. Where does it fit? And in, you know, one logic would suggest it certainly is a part of the social economy in some way. But what does that then mean? Anyway, just something to leave you with. So the three models that we've been playing around with, I think the first one, and it wasn't actually the first one in our own attempts to define how Balta would approach research, but I'm going to start with it because it's, in a sense, the easiest one to get your heads around. And that's simply the one, and I would say it's probably the most prevalent one in the various networks across the Canada which are researching the social economy, which basically looks at the social economy as essentially equivalent to civil society, the third sector, the popular sector, the nonprofit sector, the voluntary sector, and simply sees it as another way of describing and talking about a sector that's already been named and described in a variety of ways. In other words, everything that isn't public sector or private sector, there's your social economy sector. Now, there's some value in that way of approaching it. It certainly encompasses all the economic activity and the portion of the gross domestic product that group of organizations and entities contribute. If you're looking at trying to influence decision makers and political weight, the bigger we are, the better. But it also has some challenges around, as you start to look at researching something that is very diffuse, incorporates everything that doesn't fit anywhere else. Where we started as a definition for Balta, but in fact the first definition and other definitions have increasingly challenged us around it, is we defined it more as the social economy is that part of civil society which uses business methods to achieve both social and economic ends. So there you tend to focus in a bit more around cooperatives, social enterprises, and so on. It has some value and certainly some utility around focusing the kind of research you do, But increasingly, it's also been challenged by people saying that it leaves a lot out. And then finally, the third conceptualization that we've increasingly been pushed by some of our own research and some of the partners we've been talking about to think about is that in fact the social, and I would say the first two that I've talked about are both functional and structural ways of defining the social economy. This third one is entirely functional. And that's to say that the social economy is basically about reciprocity. It's about economic activity that recognizes there's more to economic activity than just the bottom line. Or if there is, it's a triple bottom line. It's social, it's ecological, and it's economic. That approach starts to look then at, in a sense, the social economy is a sector, but it's also an ethos that is already having an influence on the boundaries with the other sectors, and in a sense, something is growing up in the middle, which some people are calling the solidarity economy or the social solidarity economy. I worry a bit about that term, in that using a term that has historically been so associated with the left politically, for an approach to, in fact, trying to increasingly engage the private sector in that ethos may not be the best messaging. But anyway, whatever, that's the terminology that people have been using. It begins to look at things like corporate social responsibility, fair trade, and it begins to map out that, in fact, the socializing economy, as opposed to the structural social economy, is a different entity. And in fact, it may not even incorporate all of the social economy, because within the social economy are many organizations that are not thinking transformatively about, you know, where our economy is and where it's going. And therefore, it becomes more of a way of thinking about economics than it becomes a particular structure or group of organizations. And then finally, just to wrap up, the other area that is, in fact, challenging the sense of the neat boundaries is a project that we're doing right now here in Calgary, which is looking at a mapping of the social economy within one neighborhood, Hillhurst Sunnyside, and the relationships that exist, the web of relationships that exist between it and the other sectors, the private sector and the public sector in that community. And what's I was talking to the researchers about it a couple of days ago, and they were saying what they were finding was that the way they described it as the data was increasingly interrogating the definition, and the definition was coming up short. Because what they were saying is they were finding that, in fact, it's very hard to draw those neat distinctions. The person who is running their own business may live in the housing, the Sunnyside Housing Cooperative. Many of the small business owners in the private sector and the small business owners in the social economy or social enterprise sector, in fact, find that they have a lot of similar interests, and in fact, see themselves as part of a business community in the Hillhurst Sunnyside area, which both from the private sector and the social economy sector side have some of the same values about triple bottom lines, have some of the same values about where the local economy should going, have many of the same visions about what they would like to see happen in their own community. And therefore, they form a sector which doesn't neatly fit any of the definitions we're working with. And with that, I'll leave you.